You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
8:35 Los Angeles African time. We're talking about the shaking, and we celebrate on this platform. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning after a good chow at your function yesterday? I know you enjoyed it, Ahmad. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, nice and cool in Durban. Of course, yes, indeed, the function was, alhamdulillah, went very, very well. Well prepared meals and mashallah, very nice, very tasty. Deco was beautiful, but alhamdulillah, the walima went on very well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the couple and give them a long, healthy, and prosperous life together, inshallah. Well, yes, lots going on here. First of all, this craze of this particular product called Prime, and I think I want to caution members of the society or community at large to be very careful of this particular product. There appears to be some craze created, but of course, you know, when marketing strategies that we have today, despite the fact that health experts are raising concerns about its health risks, particularly to children. So we need to be on the alert as far as that is concerned. High Court has granted an order raising in terms of police stations, schools, and health facilities, which should be sheltered or exempt from load shedding, and rightfully so. The matter has gone to court on the just energy transition of Cyril Ramaphosa and the $8.5 billion or $151 billion at that stage rand from the West. Now, President Ramaphosa is indicating that he is deploying 800 South African National Defence Force personnel to guard all our power stations and things at a cost of 146 million rand. Now, you know, it raises a lot of questions as to how high the level of corruption and looting and vandalism has to be for you to go and deploy 800 soldiers or military personnel to guard these power stations. And for how long are you going to be able to sustain this? Of course, NHI, National Health Insurance, President said it would be an important year for the NHI. I want to reiterate that the NHI in its current form is not going to work. It's not going to be effective. A very brilliant idea. Unfortunately, we are not ready for it. Primary health care has collapsed. The infrastructure has collapsed. We do not have the necessary medical personnel. Not that they're not available, but we have not made them available as a result of financial limitations on financial resources, and also not many of them wanting to go and work in rural areas as a result of the limited or very little benefits that they enjoy. They don't have the added protection, security, and those kind of things. So the conditions are not conducive for them to go working in rural areas. There is a warning from the Department of Health on cholera, so you need to wash your hands regularly before you consume any food products and things. Well, there's also talk about the South African Saudi Arabia discussion that's ongoing about a refinery in South Africa. Another major accident again on the N3, almost on the same area of Beelzebub, this time involving at least 5 trucks, and that seems to be on the increase. And of course, there's chaos in the IFP on the face of Slabisa, who's the current leader, and Shenge Obutelezi. It seems like that heads are rolling. People are going to be fired. They want to target every person that wore the T-shirt with Slabisa's face and not the Obutelezi's face. These are just some of the things that is actually making headlines, other than the EFF trying to recruit Jay-Z to their party.
I mean, what happened to pay back that money? pay back the money. Pay back the money. Now you come back to us. I mean, look at that signal, Ahmad.
It's really a nice joke for a Sunday morning. Last week you're saying he's corrupt, he must pay back the money. And this week you want to recruit him. the flock together, don't they?
It's a shocker, man. I mean, these guys actually, you know, if you make them sit in a room and you put a monitor on and you play back. So, I mean, what are you saying? You're giving, you don't even know what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, you're giving this big signal, you contradict yourself.
All the time.
And you still have
all
the gall to.
All the time. Ahmad? Yes, sir, all the time. They do that all the time, mixed signals. Same thing with Ngonyama Trust land. I mean, a whole host of issues. Oh, remember, he brought Jay-Z there. He brought Cyril there. You know, he was responsible for getting rid of Mbeki. So, you know, I don't know why people. But unfortunately, let me tell you, with politics, African politics particularly, the requirement is you must sing and dance very well. That's the only requirement, nothing more.
Yeah, actually said, I mean, you can see Mandela was a dancer, this Jay-Z still moves it with his machine gun song and so forth. But, I mean, let's look at this hypothetically, Ahmad. Yeah. If he calls the bluff and joins the AFF, which we know he wouldn't do, but if he did that, will you say the whole of KZN will become an EFF, majority?
Certainly not. No, you won't get that situation. There will be people that will follow because there are those who follow Jacob Zuma blindly as well, you know, and that are not willing to even look at the evidence before them. But you remember that the ANC is split. There is already talk about the ANC support base being split in half between the two factions. So if you remember that even during the time of the presidential campaign, they couldn't come together between them, Zweli Mkhize and Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, although they all come from one tribe, they couldn't come together. So it would be exactly the same thing. If President Ramaphosa goes to the EFF, he's probably going to go there to get protection from them in any event. And, you know, the EFF, as far as that is concerned, there's no principles and ethics. They will protect you if they want you, if no matter how corrupt you can be, no matter what you do, is not important for them. But they will perhaps, it will influence some people to be able to go to the camp of the EFF. But remember that even though if you take KwaZulu-Natal politics particularly, you know, there are those that were loyal to the king, and because of the relationship of Buthelezi to the king, you understand people support the IFP. Ask yourself what development has taken place in any of these municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal. I repeat, any of them, very little or nothing. Has the lives of the people improved? Not at all. So the requirement is not about what you can provide, how you can service them. It's not about all that. It's all about the tribalistic attitude, and that's the problem. So here the problem you're going to have, those that are loyal to Zuma will probably follow Zuma to the EFF, but it'll be a joke. Can you imagine being part of the struggle, the liberation of this country, and now you leave your organization and you're going to some other organization. You understand? So, and of course, we know that the EFF has been, you know, part of the ANC, you know, came out of the ANC and were involved in a lot of corruption at the ANC. In fact, if you go deep in and interrogate it and investigate it, you will find a lot of them in the leadership of the EFF will also be implicated in some form of capture here, there, and everywhere. But very interestingly, I think it will be the beginning or a very, very rapid end to the ANC if that does happen.
Well, looking at the message, Anonymous says, I live in the Lower South Coast, and my family members used to support the IFP due to some reason that affiliation with an Indian councillor. But I must tell you about Manzoor Sheikh Imam, that when it comes to Buthelezi, he's always been a finicky character, very sensitive, and he's someone that chased many away from the IFP, and he's someone that he should be retired now and having a rest, because he's gone too finicky. How you respond to Anonymous there, right?
Let us not forget about the remarks that were made at the University of Durban Westville, reminding the Indian community when they did not want him to address them there about the 1949 riots and things. Let us not forget the role that he played. Let us not forget the role that he played during the days of apartheid with the apartheid regime. And if you look at what is happening currently in KwaZulu-Natal, it's very frightening. I can tell you that if the IFP loses its power bases all over, lots and lots of people will die in KwaZulu-Natal, I can tell you now. And you've seen even in the last couple of weeks, quite a few councillors and things have already been assassinated. You saw what happened to the NFP when they were created. Some of their councillors were also assassinated and things like that. So whenever you are a threat, you know, the easiest thing for them to do, of course, at a price, is to assassinate or remove you. So this is quite a problem. But despite the threats that he's made against the Indian community and things like that, despite the fact that he's been to Israel and they're getting funding from the Zionists and things, can you believe there are members of the Ummah that still support the IFP, fund the IFP? So that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Where is our loyalty? Exactly where is it?
A good point there indeed, Ahmad, you know, maybe the politics there in the rural areas, they're quite popular, I believe. But also moving on, Ahmad, we noticed that the eThekwini to increase water tariff by 14.9% as it loses, listen to this, Ahmad, as it loses 1.9 billion rands due to leaks and illegal connection. I mean, look at this country, Ahmad. Once again, those people that are law-abiding, that pay their rates and taxes, they are being taxed to death, Ahmad.
Yes, indeed. You know, eThekwini's got a 56% water loss through leaks, poor maintenance in the infrastructure. And if you remember many, many years ago, the person who was responsible, who was in charge of it, eventually left them and opened up his own company. And if I remember to some extent that he was even recruited by somebody abroad, was it Brazil or somewhere, I remember he had gone. But be that, I think it was McLeod, that was the name. If you remember the name McLeod, he was in charge of water.
No.
Yes, and he left and I think he went aboard. But be that as it may, the can you imagine the service that you provide? This is what I can't understand. You are getting paid to provide a service. You don't provide the service, but you must get the money. Same thing with the electricity. You are paying a fixed charge over and above for the units you use. You must pay for it. You understand? People are getting the same bills or more than they've had before, and half the time they don't have the supply of electricity. Look at the irregular, inconsistent supply of water in Itegwini. But people are still expected to pay for the service. It's exactly the point that I even raised with the Minister of Finance. But this is what happens when you put people in positions, you know, because they align to you. And his argument is, no, NERSA is independent. I can't understand how independent when government itself appoints them anyway. But look at his argument. And I can't seem to understand, you know, why he can't just break it down and see the reasoning behind what we are saying. That, first of all, you are a separate entity. You sell energy to the municipalities. The municipalities, in turn, supply the people. Okay, people pay the municipality. Municipalities are making profit out of it, out of what they buy. They're making about 25% profit out of it when they buy it from Eskom. None. It's not the job of the people on the ground to go and pay for you to maintain your equipment, because they're already buying a product from the municipality, which, in, you know, you have priced. It's not their duty to go and pay for your failures and maladministration and neglect of these your power utilities and your station. It's not the responsibility of the people on the ground. All the people on the ground should be doing is paying for the product that you are delivering to them through the municipality. But you going and borrowing money, you want the people on the ground to pay for it. You understand? You are not maintaining your thing. Now you want to increase it so people can pay. Because you find yourself in a financial distress, the people on the ground must go and pay for it. And I think it is wrong. My argument is that they must go out there, go and borrow, and go and pay their debt. But because they must run it as an entity, as a business. Because you can't expect the consumer to pay for your failures and your, you know, weaknesses. And that is exactly what is happening there.
Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafaq Bhai, Ahmad Bhai. I listen to your show on all radio. I must tell you that you tell that we foreigners are Pakistani and other don't pay tax. I tell you we pay not tax. Police come for tax. Inspector come tax. We pay all tax. Please, Bhai, don't say we don't pay tax. Maybe we pay more tax than you. How you respond to that, your brother? There?
That's just my point I am making, brother. Yes, you are paying taxes that are going into the wrong places. Can you imagine if you had to comply and pay your taxes the way you're supposed to? You'll have no problem. Then you can't have a police. The only reason you'd be paying a tax if you drink something irregular. If a police officer comes to you, why must you give him a tax if you are compliant and doing everything correctly? If you don't have the correct papers, you might have to pay tax, which is wrong. Go and legitimize your stay in the country. There's many processes to do that. If you are conducting your business ethically.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.